hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
Adonai Melech, Adonai
שלך.
Seems only yesterday was a hot, sultry, mid-May evening 10 years ago. I remember walking tensely through the midtown streets of New York, never getting too far away from that electric teletype board which is displayed on the New York Times building. We were waiting impatiently for news of the proclamation of the Jewish state. 6 months previously, in November of 1947, the United Nations General Assembly had voted the old British mandate of Palestine was to be partitioned between Arab and Jew. The British had signalized and signified their intentions to give up this mandate. The world body had thought it fit and proper to divide the territory between those two peoples who claimed ancient loyalties and rights to the land. May 14th of 1948 was declared to be the day on which the last of the British officialdom and police and army would be relieved of their duties in Palestine. May 15th as the date for the establishment by the provisional Jewish government of the new state of Israel. Since that day, 6 months previously, the Arab High Command had time and again flaunted the will of the United Nations. Their bands of so-called irregular troops had systematically at night pillaged and plundered the Jewish settlements. The leaders of the Arab League, voiced by the famous Palestine Mufti, white beard and beturbaned, had announced that they had no intentions of abiding by the will of the world body. Indeed, if the Jews had the temerity to establish their sovereignty over this land voted them by the world body, they would proclaim a jihad, a holy war, a war of extermination against the Jewish settlers, and the Jewish people, man, woman, and child, would in a bloodbath be driven into the sea. November of 1947, May of 1948, these were anxious months for the Jewish people. In the evening of May 14th, Israel reached one of its most fateful moments of decision. This was the hour of no return. Israel must be or not be. Israel will accept the threat of the foeman's steel or bow before the threat of the foeman's wrath. I had been working for a half year then for the Jewish Agency for Palestine. Our leaders had been trying in every way possible to arrange matters without open war. They had hoped that diplomatic overtures might secure protective treaties from the great world powers which would guarantee the sanctity and the safety of the Jewish state. But we knew on the evening of May 14th that these overtures had been frustrated, that in this way there was no hope. Israel would have to walk into its tomorrow alone, unaided. We had spent a great deal of effort and of time and of money trying to provide Israel with the wherewithal to meet the threat. After all, a people needs more than bare fists and brave hearts to meet and fight against modern arms. Much had been sent. Much more was on the way. But we did not know whether it was sufficient. We did not know whether Israel physically could brave the Arab wrath. The evening of that Thursday night in New York was dawn in Tel Aviv. The dawn of a new era for Israel, or the dawn of just another day of frustration and tragedy in the age-long Jewish drama. So much had to be weighed in the balance. Could 650,000 souls, man, woman, and child, brave the wrath of 50 million souls in 7 sovereign states? Could a people without organization, without an army, without any organized police force, dare to meet in open combat the organized professional troops, 7 powerful neighbors? Psychologically, could these 650,000 peoples who had suffered so severely in Europe under Hitler, would they again be willing And could they emotionally put their fate in the balance, their hard-won security on the line, dare to fight again for freedom, hope, and a new life? As I walked the streets of New York that night, a scene from our Bible kept passing again and again before the mirror of my mind. I saw the desert-weary hosts of the children of Israel assembled before Mount Nebo. Tired from the long journey, Moses, white-haired, broken with care and with age, standing on the mountainside slightly above them. To the west shimmered the last rays of sun on the Jordan River, and to the west of that lay the Promised Land. Moses had brought his people to this point. He could lead them no further. This was the end of the way for him. He was speaking now words of valedictory to his people, and he chose his words carefully. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not affrighted by them. The Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. And I remember praying that night that in Israel that morning, people were listening in their hearts to this ancient promise and this ancient prophecy. And then I remember the news being flashed on this electrified ticker tape. The provisional government of the state of Israel announces the establishment of its sovereignty over Medinat Yisrael, the Jewish community state of Palestine. I've often looked back on this evening. I've often felt that it was fraught with a significance which transcended the hour and which affected the whole destiny of our Jewish people. Because I firmly believe that on this night in May of 1948, our Jewish people began its future. We are a people of an ancient and time-honored past. Our history is among the most venerable and honored known to man. We were born in faith, and we have always been faithful to the great ideals of liberty, democracy, equality, justice, and human dignity, which the priests and the prophets of Israel thundered forth to their people centuries and millenniums ago. We have given to the world much more of culture, of humane discipline, than we have taken from it. We have given to the world far beyond our numbers. Our past is one of which we can be proud. But in recent years, our present has been sorely troubled. In recent years, the steel of the enemy has been driven time and again into the quick flesh of our body. We have been hurt to this most inner core. Our body has become old. Russia, Poland, Lithuania, Hungary, North Africa, Yemen, pre-Israel Palestine, Germany. Words then so easy to recall, so bitter to endure. Our whole body was sick. Our spirits were despondent and desperate. Had we, as the Jewish people, come to the last hour of our destiny? Was the postlude actually being written to the symphony that is Israel? What did the establishment of this state 10 years ago mean to us? It meant to us a national home where our own people, according to the dictates of their conscience, could create and evolve and forge organizations and institutions in consonance with the most ancient and venerated ideals of our people. It meant the establishment of a national sanctuary where the dispossessed and the displaced among our people could find refuge and a new home and a new life and a new hope. And where those displaced persons of the world, whom the whole wide world could find no home, no place of refuge, would be always welcome, could come and could be sustained. It meant a new vision, a vision of a land developed by our own talents and by our own energy, by our sweat and by our tears, by free people and new ideas on ancient soil and venerated faith. But above all the night of May 14th, 10 years ago, meant that our people had found again its ageless youth. That confidence, that faith which recent times had sapped from us, again clothed us in majesty and in glory. Again we were a people with a future. Again we were conscious of our national mission and of our national worth. Again as a people we were walking the royal highway of our ancient and timeless destiny. 10 years have accomplished much. 10 years since 1948. In those 10 years, that brief decade, the new state of Israel has ingathered over 1 million souls, men and women and children suffering under the lash of oppressors and of tyrants. They have found new shelter, new homes, new jobs, new skills. For these people, they have cared for them educationally and medically. They have made them feel citizens of a world in which it is truly worth the living. It is hard to imagine the magnitude of this achievement. If America, our own beloved land, were to ingest and take in every year for the next decade 10 million of people, find for them a new way of life, welcome them, make them feel at home, give them productive skills, and ingest them into our economy. Then alone might we understand the magnitude of the accomplishment, which is Israel. In the last 10 years, Israel has doubled its arable and cultivable land. Again, an achievement which beggars description. It would mean in comparable terms that America would have to make verdant the whole of our southwestern dust bowl, and that we would have to clear the New England countryside from every rock and every rill which disturbs it and which prevents cultivation. In 10 years, production has tripled. Educational facilities have been quadrupled. Medical facilities have grown sixfold. Any one of these accomplishments would permit us to say at this hour that the achievements of the State of Israel were Herculean. All of these accomplishments encompassed, taken together, can only be called miraculous. Proof again, if proof be needed, that faith can move mountains. Proof again, if proof be needed, that where there is courage and where there is grit, the implausible becomes ordinary. The impossible becomes commonplace. I've indicated to you my belief that the establishment of the State of Israel 10 years ago gave a future to our people. I firmly believe that had it not been for the establishment of that state, even that modern Judaism which we have been able to create and to fashion here in America would have been in time worn down by the dispiritedness and the despair which would have seeped here from the communities of Europe and of Palestine, where there would have been no hope and no future. We could not have achieved that rejuvenescence of faith which has been a feature of the last two or three decades of American Jewish life had Israel not been for us symbolic. A signal that we as a people were clothed again in purpose and meaning and in hope. A visible symbol, as the Bible says, of the presence of God in the midst of the people. That is why at this hour we sing unto the Lord a new song. A song of faith. A song of assurance. Our assurance that Israel has a tomorrow and will walk into that tomorrow confidently, with purpose to teach the way that is God's way by precept and example to our world. Oh, there will be many obstacles. The enemies are ever present. We should have no illusions on that respect. But there is now assurance deep in our hearts that we are strong enough, that we are vital enough, that we are self-sufficient, that we, with God's help, will create that future of peace, prosperity, and justice, which is our dream. The day will surely come. The young lion and the young lamb shall lie down together, and a young child shall lead them. When they shall no more hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain, for such is the will of God, such will be the way of man. Amen.
auf ihm. Es stach aber auch ab ihm. Mei alle Pisgat arats auf ihm. Shalom lach Yerushalayim. May adorot cholam tiyalayich liskot lirot beyar panayich Yerushalayim Yerushalayim.